I don't know. Where to start? What did you cover with Chris? Anything?
We went heavy with the Revolution talk, naturally. Not a whole lot of WWE. We just ran through kind of the big stories there.
Well, let's start with NXT because that had some newsworthy stuff, and then get into other stuff, I guess, and then get into Dynamite because that was a packed show, almost too much, to be honest.
I did figure we could start with our good buddy from Kent State, Dolph Ziggler,
Yeah,
winning.
that's the main story there. I mean, outside of the rest of NXT being shit, so I had a big problem with that with the show on Wednesday. No, Tuesday.
It was just a little, well, the show was a little confusing, I suppose.
Well, it's still continuing the trend of people who were something or people you liked aren't shit in NXT now. Like Pete Dunne, like I like Carmelo Hayes, but him losing clean like that's bullshit. You know, and I know it's like no build, nothing whatsoever, and he comes in and it's like, okay, what are we doing? And then Raquel Gonzalez, I mean, I know she had a hurt leg, whatever. No one was able to beat her. And she just gets pinned in a tag team match.
That was possibly the most shocking thing of the night.
She should be on the main roster, not doing jobs in NXT. I mean, period. Like, who did she lose the title to? Oh, Mandy Rose, right? Yeah, because outside interference, all that. Okay. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, got no beef with the main title loss. I was really shocked at how much they talked about them concentrating on Cora Jade.
Exactly.
And I just, it's one of those things you're like, oh, okay. I'm assu Even though Raquel was hurt, I assumed, oh, they're still going to pin the smaller person in this matchup.
Which is what the storyline should have been. The whole point of like them teaming is that Cora Jade wasn't ready. You know, so Raquel's like, fine, whatever. Gets in and then she loses. And it could have been the same thing. They took her knee out and beat her. And then, you know, she comes back and attacks Mandy Rose. But in this case, it's like, unless that's it and Raquel's finally going to the main roster, this is dumb. It didn't make any sense to me.
It on
It
top
made her look weak, which she's not. She's not supposed to.
well, and it puts the whole storyline in a weird spot too, to me, because you got Io and Kaylee Ray is the other two. Like they are such a for to me, they're a foregone conclusion to win. Like unless Gigi Dolin and what's her and JC Jane also take out one of those two during the finals. You spent all that time building up Raquel and Cora and doing all these segments. Like, if they're not fighting for the championships, like, I suppose you can have them have a grudge match with Toxic Attraction. But why, I guess?
Yeah.
I know that you can tell a story down the line with what happened in that matchup, but it's to me it seems to jumble everything else up. Like it would be, yeah. Like I would at least go, oh, are Cora and Raquel gonna win it, or is it gonna be Kaylee Ray and Io who win this thing? Now it's just like there's no way Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai are winning that unless, I shouldn't say no way, but unless they get the level of help that they got in this match this week.
Yeah, I can't stand that Wendy Chu stuff. It's fucking stupid. It's just stupid. At least Orange Cassidy, which is this is a clear ripoff of it. At least Orange Cassidy has something. Like he doesn't try until he has to. Well, this girl falls asleep and they're walking around like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? Kick her in the fucking head. It's that easy. It's an idiotic proposition. And then the announcers are whispering. Like, it's just dumb. It's just inane babble and bullshit that we have to put up with. And then then I'm supposed to have like a super serious thing with, you know, Imperium and MSK.
Well, that one was a little bit more. That one, I feel like, okay, we're trying to get a multi-person tag match. Stand and deliver.
Stand and deliver. The most important NXT show ever, which is on at noon on Saturday, I think. So don't tell me it's important when you're plopping it at noon on a weekend. Get out of here. That's called syndication.
Yeah, there's not a big chance that I'm gonna end up. During the day is just a strange time unless it's a work day.
Yeah, but I mean, they want, and this is kind of what I was talking about like a couple of months ago, or when they made this whole change. They're not gonna sell that place out, especially for a noon show. So it's like. But I think is it actually in Dallas, or is it going to be at the Performance Center?
Oh, I haven't really paid attention.
I don't remember. And imagine if it's in the Performance Center, the amount of money they just lost by not selling out a 20,000 seat arena on WrestleMania weekend, which they did before a card was even announced. Like, this whole shift to this new version of NXT is a goddamn disaster. Ratings aren't any better. Okay, you got some people. I mean, we'll get to this in a second, but apparently somebody may be getting called up to the main roster already, which is a good idea. Although, what I've heard, not such a great idea. But I'm dumbfounded at how a company that likes to make money can easily lose so much money and just not bat an eye. And I just, there's no one on that roster that means anything anymore. That's going to fill something. And maybe they know that. So they're like, no, we'll just do it at the Performance Center, or we'll sell it at a 1,000 seat building. You know, because it's the developmental. No. You know?
But are they scheduled for the huge arena in Dallas? Is that what you're trying to figure out? Like,
I think so.
Okay.
Because I think how it works, not SmackDown. Like, if you go to SmackDown, you get the Hall of Fame. Something, or Hall of Fame, then SmackDown, or something like that. Because they're going to have, and this is how awful this company has turned into, how awful run it is. So the Hall of Fame used to be its own event. Now it's going to be before SmackDown with The Undertaker, and then the other people getting inducted are possibly just going to be video introductions. They're not even going to be there.
Oh.
Now, Vader, I mean, he's passed away, unfortunately. The rumor is Sid Vicious or Sid Justice may be in as well, and it's like, well, you want to kind of contain him, I guess, so okay, but the Hall of Fame is so prestigious that even though you could have a whole, you know, pomp and circumstances like you used to, nah, we're just going to have them do a video call instead. And then, oh, NXT, which used to sell out 20,000 seat arenas, well, that's not going to happen anymore. And then, oh, remember Fan Access? You know that thing we didn't get to go to in Detroit, and we saw a little bit of Dallas last time? you know the tickets they sold out?
Oh, yeah. It's American Airlines Center for Stand and Deliver.
Okay, but that ain't selling out. So unless they like purposely go small with the configuration so they can tout it as a sellout. But you remember the Fan Access thing?
Oh, you know, yeah, they have a lot of tickets sold right now.
Well, the Fan Access that they sold people on to buy WrestleMania tickets, they're not having one this year. All you have to do is set your shit up and people go look at it.
No.
I don't, like, this is why, like, making money is not a determination of how good your company is.
Oh.
You know? It's like just getting less. It's like, all right, here's your car, but it's on every basic thing for $79,000. Like, wait, what? Oh, wow, yeah, we switched everything back to, like, bare bones. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a weird time to, well, it's a weird sell to what, Bron Breakker's the only guy that they've really built up. Carmelo Hayes would be the other one.
I mean, they've built these guys up, like Grayson Waller, even though he's in a feud in a weird, well, it wasn't a weird feud with
Okay.
LA Knight, you
Yeah.
know? But like he's like they keep saying how annoying and how terrible he is. And it's like, all right, I mean he is pretty annoying, so he's good at his job. But it's like the Johnny Gargano stuff was a while now. So he's
Oh.
taking on a guy that's pretty terrible himself. But all of a sudden, we're just supposed to root for him. You
That's
know?
been the weird one where it's just like, good Lord, that you guys have really drug this thing out since Halloween Havoc.
When they said that, I was like, oh my God, it's been since October for this? Holy crap.
It makes sense, and it's kind of been on and off with him and Knight, because I don't feel like they've really driven at it quite that whole time, because there was they're stretching it a little bit since that was a team thing. But yeah, I do like, well, yeah, I like Waller. I like the look that he has, and that elbow that he had off the top rope. Really like the little, I don't know, it looked like he was trying to do a whirlwind dunk or something like that with the hands between the legs to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's supposed to be him dunking a basketball, like dunking on somebody.
Oh, okay, that is what
That's
that's.
exactly what that's supposed to be, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, I don't mind the characters. I don't mind, but it's like, these people could have been. And I also don't trust the crowd reactions at the
Oh.
Performance Center. That's where they're having this, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they used to go off script anyways, but they are so clear cut down the lines on this stuff, the crowd, most of the time. The crowd is that I swear that it's like, all right, you have to come, but we need you to do this, we need you to do this. And I like when they go off the reservation and they start cheering for people they're not supposed to. Or, you know, because like Tony D, like people chanting for, you know, Tony D'Angelo, they're not supposed to be cheering for him. So it's
Oh.
kind of fun to me when they just like, nah, we're gonna do what they said anyways. Because he sucks. I mean, that whole character still sucks. I think he may have the talent for it, but you know.
it's I've kind of gotten over the sucks part, and I'm just going, I mean, they've really gone all in on the like Soprano style guy. I get it, at best it's Sopranos new. Italian wise.
I don't even think. No, the Sopranos didn't go that heavy with the cliches, so.
That is a good point. That's I thought I might be overstepping my bounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's really gone all in, and yeah, do I think it's ridiculous? Yeah. Yep. But they have like, I'm trying to think. I feel like he's gotten some decent wins. I mean, Pete Dunne really has been the butt end of most of these. Because you mentioned, what was the other
Yeah.
loss that he just took?
Tony D'Angelo beat him. I
But
mean,
was
not lately, but yeah.
no who? But who was the other one that we mentioned? Carmelo Hayes
Yeah.
got to win over him too. It's just like, oh,
So a
that's.
guy that was barely able to be beaten is getting beaten left and right now. And it's like, why? Why not take somebody who is, you know, I know they're using them to help train these new people, but at the expense of like
Their
having your
that
established team.
person's brand.
Yeah. And like at least Ciampa's kind of gotten out of it because he's been with Bron Breakker and Dolph, whatever else, and showing up on Raw. But the whole thing just sucks. I mean, where's Roderick Strong? He just kind of totes around like, hey guys, I'm with the Creeds, you know? He loses to Carmelo Hayes, not nary a sniff of a reaction from him. Nothing since.
Well, and that's why that was one of those ones that when Carmelo Hayes had his segment this week, I'm like, yeah, you've kind of beaten all the old guys that you can beat at this point. And I mean, I know that Pete Dunne is in no way an old guy, but in the scope of NXT, he's an old guy. So yeah, Carmelo Hayes is a little bit at the end of his rope for opponents, and it's a really curious decision to me for a champion to put himself in a bad spot.
That just reeks of, hey, it's NXT, we're supposed to do this. Because you're exactly right. Like, all right, so he's got Dexter Lumis, I guess. Or did he beat him already?
He is, I don't, oh, he did beat Loomis, didn't he?
I couldn't remember. Because I know, and also Dexter Lumis is now, like, worked into the Duke Hudson thing. You know, because of Indy Hartwell and all that. But because I know Trick Williams was scared of him. So, you know, you got that at least. But yeah, I'm trying to think. So, what are you going to put? Tony D'Angelo in there? Grayson Waller? Because I guess this thing with LA Knight's over. LA Knight? I mean, do you want to put all your young guns in that match? Which is what I think they may be going towards. To be like, hey, you know, this is the showcase for the young guys that I've been complaining about, sort of thing. And let them tear stuff up. And hopefully, you know, hopefully comes out good. But you're right, it doesn't make any sense, and I think even Trick Williams said something. I was like, why are you doing this?
Oh.
One of his guys at the barbershop was like, what are you doing
Yeah.
this for? And it makes sense. But they don't have, like, they don't have the talent that ladder match we saw had. I mean, just flat out, that talent isn't there. So I don't get, outside of him, I don't get what we're doing here, but you know, I've been racking my brain. Who, Santos Escobar? Who, remember, he's still around. You got the Virgin Cowboy and his friend, which is just another bizarre thing.
Yeah, that one is definitely a I can't think of whether it's Brooks or Jensen that can't get a woman. Who was that?
I think it's Jensen because Josh Briggs is Josh Brooks, right?
I sure.
Yeah, but yeah, I it just the whole thing just sucks. And this is the first week in a while I actually thought that, like, this sucks, and it has nothing to do with the main event, which I was pleasantly shocked at. Like, oh wow, look what just happened here. Because it was three, like, two pros and a guy who shouldn't probably be in NXT, like we've talked about. Like, for all the right reasons, he shouldn't be in NXT right now. And,
Oh, yeah.
you know, so it's crazy that Dolph is the NXT champion because he never wins. I mean, he just keeps losing all the time, and all of a sudden he pulls this off. Like, what? Was that supposed to make it more shocking?
It's well, yeah, it's one of those confusing things to me, I guess, still. I don't in some ways mind it, but in other ways, I guess I don't see the value in it, really.
It seems to me it was done for shock value. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Like, anything can happen. Well, sometimes it shouldn't. Like, but now it's coming out that Braun may or maybe getting pulled up to the main roster already. So it was a way for him to lose without losing the title.
Yeah, well, okay, sure. That part is accomplished. I suppose the problem that I then have after that is either he's got to lose a singles match later on to kind of at least complete the cycle and get him fully out of NXT, or he loses another multi-person match and gets called up. Which is also super awkward, where you could still conceivably complain about never having lost. the championship that you earned.
Yeah, no. I didn't say it made sense. I'm saying that's what all the tea leaves are looking like. And then the find out, which I couldn't... I was wondering why he looked so goofy on Monday when he was there. He had direction to smile more when he was on Raw. This is one of my pet peeves about stuff. You keep going with what got you there. So whenever, like, all right, so, like, Steve Austin, he never changed. He was the same, you know?
Oh.
Remember when Randy Orton, was it Randy Orton? There was some heel everyone just started cheering for. Like, they were tired of booing him, or they proved to be cool. And then as soon as he turned face, he was like, yeah, slapping hands, smiling, and all this. I'm like, that's, and then I think the crowd eventually started turning on him again. It's like, yeah, no one wanted that. They liked what they liked. I mean, imagine like The Rock. All of a sudden, they're like, yeah, slapping hands with the fans and going, yeah, you guys are the greatest. Like, no. It's just, that's not who the character is. And this stuff's not hard. I mean, this isn't, you don't even need to be in like an industry to know, okay, what works? Let's stick with that because it's what got us here. And then as that starts to sour, then you can start making changes. And obviously make the changes before it's too late, if possible. But that's not WWE's way, apparently. Okay, this works. All right, scrap everything that works, and we're going to make it our own. That makes no sense. That's all right. A car has four wheels? Nah, screw it. We'll just do three. No, just take one of the tires off. Don't put it in the center. You know, we don't want one of those goofy motorcycle car things. No, just leave it with three, and we'll see how it rides. Like, okay, and then when it doesn't go anywhere, they blame the car. Like, okay.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if. Well, yeah, we'll see if that's where that goes. But that is kind of stupid that it. Yeah, that's not why people liked him.
Yep.
It's one of those things that, as much as I like my online workout classes, the fact that they make those motherfuckers forced to smile during the videos,
ew.
I'm like, really? No.
Ugh.
No, people. Like, I'm not supposed to be smiling when I'm working out. I'm supposed to be pissed off that I'm in here.
I mean, if you're exerting yourself, that's a near impossibility. If you're able to smile and look all happy and shit, you ain't working. You're not working hard. Sorry.
And there's that too.
That's how it is.
I'm like, you're just not working hard enough. If you can do that, if you're not gritting your teeth through whatever exercise, then you're not doing hard work.
Yeah, I mean, I look like death at the end of some of mine because you have to work out as hard as possible.
Yeah.
And,
So, yeah, yeah, with Breaker, I don't understand. Like, I don't. What does the smiling get for you?
It makes him more likable, you know, so kids will like him. Because, you know. Ugh.
Just have him kick ass. Like, I don't know how many times we've said just have them kick ass.
But Kevin,
like,
that's what Goldberg did. Remember when he came out beating everybody up and running through everybody? He started smiling. And he started being all nice and stuff. Because, you know, that's. Oh, no, that didn't happen. That's not what happened at all. The top stars stayed true to who they were even when they turned face. It's an impossibility to me. Or it's a not a possibility. It doesn't register with me how WWE is successful other than just suckering people into their product. And they keep making a ton of money, which means to me no one watches what they do. If you had an actual TV exec watch that show, they'd be like, this is trash. And that's one of the reasons that their ratings go down. Yeah, but yeah, it just... The NXT stuff drives me crazy. I'm slowly losing interest in that just because I don't really care. Like, Toxic Attraction, when's the last time they wrestled on TV? Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I got no idea.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, your champs don't always have to wrestle, but goddamn, once in a while wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I guess I was going to start going in that direction. Like, there's a difference between, the WWE seems to just go between way too much and way too little.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh my god, why is this champion on TV defending his belt, like, every show? And then the next one, it's just like, oh, they're never on the show.
And Kaylee Ray and Mandy Rose, right? That was, what, February, I guess?
Whatever, what was the pay-per-view-ish thing called?
Yeah, I was just trying to remember.
And yeah, it's skipping on my mind currently.
Valentine's Day Massacre? No, they won't use Massacre anymore. It was the Valentine's Day same theme though, so whatever it was.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't resonate.
That was probably it, I would assume.
But yeah, I just, ugh. It's my thing with WWE is it's just homogenized. Like, everything's the same. And did you notice, like, the camera in the ring stuff? It wasn't so much this week, it was more last week. Because they actually have cameramen in the ring sometimes now.
Hey. It's been infrequent enough that I haven't paid that much mind to it. And it looks like February 15 was the last time the ladies from Toxic Attraction were
wow.
in.
Wow, that's crazy.
And that's just Gigi Dolin and JC Jane taking on Indy and Persia.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, it's fine. There's less Mandy Rose in the ring, the better. So whatever, but.
I don't mind the whole, what do they call it, the toxic lounge or whatever. You know,
yeah.
People have done that type of gimmick for, you know, since we were been around at least. But it doesn't give you much promo time. And I think that's one of those things that I'd like to see out of them. Just even if you got one of those mic'd up type moments where you're just catching them in the back talking, or, you know, in the lounge talking, something to help further the characters in some way or another. And they just haven't had anything. It's just like, hey, we're up here. Great. Like, I understand why you're up there, because you're the champs and you're just waiting for everyone else.
Yeah, and that's always like a tricky thing, because if you don't care that much, you're like, we're the best, we don't care who we fight, then why are you there?
Yeah.
It really is that. Like, you feel like, alright, we're scouting our competition because we want to make sure we're the best, whatever, okay, but that's never what it is. It's always blowing the other people off. So, I mean, I guess it can, you know, it can be used to turn around and be like, well, this is what's going on, but that's never what happens. So, yeah, I don't know. It's the same shit I always say. The forcing of these new people instead of a real, like, bona fide way of introducing talent. Instead of going, hey, you remember Pete Dunne? Well, he's not shit, so you're an idiot for liking him for this long. What? Oh, Walter? Well, he's going to have one match, and he's gone for a while. Like, when they put Gunther on, I actually thought he was going to lose that match to, was it Solo Sikoa?
Oh, yes.
I honestly thought he was going to lose that match. And honestly, that would have been the last time for me. No. Enough.
Yeah, I like Solo, but he doesn't have the experience, I suppose, that...
And he shouldn't be down there either. And I know what you just said, he shouldn't be down there either. You've got the bloodline.
Oh,
put him in there. And, like, call it, like, just be like, we got our Oos here. He's under the learning tree of, you know, Roman Reigns. So he's, what better place for him to be than under the learning tree of the tribal chief, you know? It writes itself.
He, Yeah, and he's, I mean, I guess it's one of those things where I don't know if you're kind of doing an argument. I'm thinking more about, pro sports, I suppose, where I don't know if those guys in the performance center, quote unquote, getting more reps to get in more practice to be better in the future than they would on the main roster. Like, that's the only argument I could see for not doing that. Because they really could use a singles competitor that isn't one of, part of a tag team to be a roadblock to getting to Roman Reigns. Sure, would he lose a bunch of squash matches? Probably. He's not going to look as sharp as he is on NXT at this point. But he doesn't really need to be there either.
Not at all. So it's a dead horse, and I apologize. I know we actually have a time this week. So, but we need to get to AEW, and I know we skipped over the whole Dolph Ziggler thing for the most part. But it was shocking. It's not going to last. And really, as I mentioned his name, Gunther, that's what should happen. Gunther should come out and blast Dolph Ziggler and win the title, and then put everybody in the ring with him. Have him beat everybody until somebody comes around that's an actual challenge. But
Until Dragunov comes over from the
I
NXT
actually wouldn't mind
UK.
Carmelo Hayes, but not.
Oh.
I don't want him to win and then 3 months later Carmelo Hayes beats him. No, let Gunther run through everybody. They're not going to pull him up to the main roster. I mean, I doubt it.
He's starting to put abs on. They might.
Yeah. Which kind of ruins his look a little bit. Him being a little doughy just made him look like a brawler and someone that Vince McMahon should love, but he doesn't have an eye for talent, so it doesn't matter.
That and I don't know. I guess he got too much of that look in the 80s with his wrestlers, and he is pretty much outlawed it ever since.
Yeah, when they were making him money hand over fist. Yeah, what a goddamn shame. Ugh.
I mean, I do think that people are generally in better shape, and I do think that it's a little bit odd when it doesn't look like you work out at all and you're supposed to be a professional wrestler.
Well, but that was never the case. I mean, look at King Kong Bundy, the big boss man. John Studd wasn't in all that great a shape.
Oh, right.
It was really like the Attitude Era stuff where everyone started really just,
Oh.
well, with other means, of course, but just started trimming up, and then it kind of like everyone kind of looks the same, which kind of sucks. That was the fun part, was everyone looked different. And now, I mean, everything's just kind of the same. I mean, people wear their t-shirts to the ring instead of costumes.
Yeah, there are a handful of
A handful.
the costumey people. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not that hung up on that aspect of things. It is, well, yeah. 'Cause what's her name? Saray, I suppose, is the one that popped into my mind for someone doing something at least along those lines.
Yeah, and I'm just like I'm indifferent to her, so I don't have much of an opinion on her. So it's weird. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
So
well, it's another one where I know that NXT can't always fit someone on TV, but they reboot that character, do all this build up for Tiffany Stratton, but both of them just seem to be caught in neutral or something. Like, they keep on popping up, but they're not staying on a roll or anything like that.
Well, that's WWE, though. No one stays on a roll.
Not no one. There's two people that are on a roll, and then everyone else, which is Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Everyone else is up shit creek without
Yeah, that's very true. Yes. Yes.
a
There's no space for. But again, that's them writing and going with their own thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that it's their fault.
Never convince me that anybody but Paul Heyman, Brock, Roman, and Vince, who's allowing it to happen, is doing anything for that storyline. I guarantee you it's them. It's a little closed circuit, and they're like, no, we're not listening to these other guys. No.
We're not listening to Dewey Foley about what he thinks should be happening.
Yeah, so no. And it's like, take a cue. But whatever. And that's why AEW exists. In all honesty, that's why they exist.
Yeah.
That was different last night. A real talk-heavy show, huh? I mean, there were back-to-back segments where people talked. It started off with people talking. Heel turns, face turns, face returns. Like, at one point, I went, are we getting a match? Like,
it did. That kind of felt like a post paper. Like, I guess the WWE hasn't done that in so long because they're doing monthly pay-per-views. Like, this was one where, yeah, there were a couple of heel turns and matches and stuff, but for the most part, it was just like, hey, everyone that that had a match on Sunday gets today off, and you're rebooting all the storylines, essentially, or moving them in a new direction.
Yeah, that's only sort of true, because Heyman wrestled for some reason, and he had Moxley and Danielson.
That one
made no sense to me.
That one's an easy write-off in the they're a tag team, which is a typical WWE post WrestleMania situation to find yourself in. Hey guys, we don't want you to work as hard, so we're gonna throw you in a tag match.
Yeah. I mean, even that was kind of weird with William Regal. Why do they call him William Regal still? I figured they would have gone back to Steve, but, you know, whatever.
Oh.
But yeah. So, I mean, that whole thing was just weird to me. And, like, a dash of reality interspersed, and then all of a sudden it got to the fake stuff. You know, say fake the way it is. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what we're doing, but okay.
Yeah, that whole, as much as I love William Regal, at some point I was just sitting there going, is he still talking? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, oh my gosh. And then I'm like, man, this has been a really long time and he hasn't said anything about Jon Moxley. And just at that part, he's like, don't worry, I'm getting to you, Sunshine. And then he's got to do like 5 seconds, like, Jon Moxley, I met him 11 years ago, and end a segment.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm like, what?
I mean, and they beat two really good guys, too. I was actually hoping that would have been more of a fight.
Because who did they take on?
The Workhorsemen, Anthony Henry and J.D. Drake.
Oh.
They're from around here.
Okay.
And Anthony Henry was actually in NXT for a while. He was getting ready to retire. And he went to NXT, had one match on TV, and then came back. Because they cut him, obviously. But they're a legit team. We saw them win the Crockett Cup at the baseball stadium.
J.D.
Drake legitimately looked like he was going to beat the shit out of somebody in the crowd. And I'm like, I think he's going off reservation right now. It was pretty crazy. So, like, when I saw him as part of the Wingmen, I'm like, okay, this is just seeing a new side of him. But, I mean, he would wrestle for Evolve, wrestle for the WNN, and it was good, like both of them. So, I was hoping for more of a fight, but I guess that wasn't the purpose, and I guess that's why they were chosen for that role.
You know? Oh. Yeah, they... I was just thinking, NXT has kind of gotten rid of the squash match in this new era, haven't they?
That's for that NXT Up... or whatever that show is, Level Up show.
Oh, okay.
I get the feeling that's what that is.
Okay. Just because this was definitely a squash match, you know, I mean, it was just to put over Brian and Moxley as a team. Yeah. And it had just kind of dawned on me that that was just such a staple of NXT programming in the Triple H era, and it's something that has not hit the last couple of months.
No. And that's why they don't need to. If it's a developmental, they don't need to be going against other developmental people. It's dumb. But whatever. I don't write the show. But, yeah, so NXT, no, I'm sorry, AEW, the whole Hangman thing was weird. I mean, why? Why did Dante Martin, as much as I like him, why did he get a title shot? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Because he was number two, and what else did they say his record was?
Okay.
I mean, this is
bullshit's got to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those. If a bear shits in the wood, did he really take a shit, or is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like if a tree falls in the wood, does it make a sound?
Yeah. It's that kind of situation with him. Like I think that he's improved. It seems like leaps and bounds. So I did kind of like that part at the end with Hangman.
Well, it's also supposed to show you what a good guy Hangman is. Like, I'm not bagging on anyone in the match, other than it's just weird.
Especially when it's your champion and he leads off the show after a pay per view.
Yes.
In a match, it's a weird spot to be in. So yeah, as much as it was a fairly quick match for him, and a nice highlight for Dante Martin. It really seemed like a weird spot to for that to be in, especially when Adam Cole. Like, this is one where I'm like, to me, it's too early for Adam Page to be losing his championship.
Yeah.
After all the work that they've done for him. And it's just like, and that's what some of these guys coming over have kind of gotten into problems with. Where it's like, you know, win the title or bust. And it's just like, what do you do with them after that? Like, I suppose you could end up, and Chris and I touched on it a little bit, if Kenny Omega comes back, you got to Adam Cole, Red Dragon, Kenny Omega, Young Bucks thing going on that you could stretch out. So there is at least something for them to do, probably.
Well, yeah, that's where it seems to be going, but it looks like they were heavily, like, they're trying to tease the Young Bucks and Adam Page getting together. And they kind of did that last night.
Oh.
Because they're like, you know, I have two young men, blah, 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 blah. And then it was Red Dragon. And then the Bucks are just standing there like fools. And then it's like, okay, well, maybe. Because, you know, they gave the go-ahead to Page to beat Omega when they could have interfered.
Yeah, and they even didn't they make some reference to him, too?
Well, that was on the buy-in show or whatever.
Okay.
Which I thought was a pretty successful troll job, to be honest. Because I was like, oh, Kenny Omega's showing up. Oh, no, never mind. But yeah, so it just seems like that's where they're going. So you're going to have Paige and that. So that's one way but like what you were saying with Omega, that's one way of stretching it out. Because remember, he wasn't too pleased with Cole. So if Omega comes back, whenever that is, you've got the Bucks and Omega and Cole and Red Dragon. You know, delay it for a while.
Yeah, so, Adam Cole might should probably end up losing this second bid at the AEW World Championship.
Yeah, because I can see, like, the six-man tag, the Bucks, like, but doesn't that seem very soon? Like, just all of a sudden the Bucks team up with Paige with nothing?
Oh.
Like, no build-up? Like, that's awful quick.
Yeah, there's a difference between not interfering in a match and becoming friends enough that you should be in a six-person tag match together.
Right, right. So, and so you got that. You had Matt Hardy. That whole thing was a debacle to me. until Jeff came out, but it was like the worst kept secret. I would have preferred them, honestly, to drag it out. So that when Jeff finally does show up, the place went crazy, don't get me wrong.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, Matt constantly getting beat down, and he's like, I've got no friends, I've got nothing. Do that for a few weeks. And we go, it's my own fault. And everyone's like, Jeff's going to show up this week. Nope. Jeff, nope, nope. And then when he does, I mean, the place would have gone crazy. I mean, he came back when everyone knew he was coming back, right?
Pretty like, much.
Everyone knew he was coming in. And they went nuts. Imagine if they're like, finally.
Yeah. There was so much wrong with that segment.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Why don't the Butcher and Blade have a vote? Where was the bunny with her vote? Whatever happened to Jack Evans and Angelico?
I don't know.
So,
I don't know what happened with them. I don't understand. There's a lot of shit I don't understand, I guess. Like, Isaiah Cassidy and what's the other one's name?
Mark.
Oh, Mark Quinn.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say, but I'm not sure I got it right by not saying it.
Yeah, well, all I could have done is like fucking scroll down on my webpage here to figure it True. Out too. That might have helped a little bit.
Yeah, but I honestly thought those guys got stunted as soon as they put him with Matt Hardy. I think those guys, their careers just stalled.
Yeah, I mean, was there an injury with one of them too, kind of close off the hop when AEW started?
That's what I'm hoping, because even Isaiah was the one that was on the pay-per-view.
I feel like Mark Quinn's kind of been dealing with something, because he's not been in the ring as much.
I mean, they're young enough, it doesn't matter, but... It's just like, all the hype, they beat the Bucks the first round of that tournament, and then it just went nowhere.
Yeah, that's one of those things where they have more bodies in their tag team division in AEW, but they don't use it any better than the WWE at this point. Like, it's just like, because the other one that happened, like, FTR firing Tully is just like, oh boy, this was long overdue. Like, so long overdue.
But again, it's one thing that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
There was never any dissension. There was nothing. It was just, you're fired. It's like, what?
Because you disagree about one match or something like that, essentially?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's it. Oh, and I guess to get back to the Hardy thing. They'd only been that style of group for, what, 2 weeks or something? And it's just like, hold on, why are you beating this guy down for... And why are you going with Andrade, who... let's just say hasn't fared any better than Matt Hardy in AEW. You know, like, I don't know what incentive they have to jump ship, like, any of them. Whether it's Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy, the Butcher and the Blade, and even if we find Angelico and whatever that other guy's, Nick Jackson?
Jack Evans,
what the fuck ever. Good God. Okay, there's something for the WWE making names that you can at least fucking remember. Sometimes when you just use your real name, it's fucking plain as shit.
Yeah.
Jack Evans is in that category.
He's been that for a long time, though.
So, yeah, he has been. Those two haven't been on that much. I guess, yeah, to my main point, though, is I don't get their motivations in switching. Like, I know that Matt Hardy hasn't done anything for them, but again, like you said, like, it's not like they've shown any real dissension other than at the beginning of the beginning of the group. where Hardy kept on screwing up and costing them matches.
Yeah. Well, there's also the whole point of, like, their contract situation, remember? How he was getting all this money.
Oh, I forgot about that part of things.
If they bring that up, all's forgiven. Like, hey, we never forgot about this, blah, 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 that sort of stuff. All right, cool. That's actually pretty good. But as it stands, they just turned on him.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, okay, I guess. Like, but
that okay.
and the problem with that really is that we all saw it coming because we all know Jeff's coming.
And that was, people have been pointing it out today, and it was downright hilarious that Matt Hardy's been in a beatdown for minutes at this point, and his brother finally decides to save him, but he's got to dance down on his way to the ring because you can't just save your brother from a multi-minute ass-kicking already.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. But again, let's not bury the fact fucking Sting and Darby come out there.
Oh, first?
Darby's like, they're just standing there. And I'm like, okay, there's really no, you know, team up here. But Sting's supposed to be this good guy, right? And he's just like, oh. And then they decide to go. So yes, Jeff did a WWE thing where he had to, like, you know, wave to the crowd. Like, look at me. Yeah, it was pretty stupid. I caught that right away. But Sting is no better. Darby, when he got in the ring, though, that dude's going to die. And it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be for our entertainment, which is probably what he wants. He throws himself around. I've never seen something like it. But yeah, and then Jeff comes out. Jeff's music, the old Hardy Boys music hits, which is funny. The reason they got away from that is that's public domain music.
You know what? That was maybe the biggest mystery to me, and I did not realize that until you said it. Because I'm like,
yes, it's been used in so many different things, and maybe not public domain, but I think it's one of those pieces of music you can use for whatever.
Yeah, Jim Johnston didn't write that specifically for the WWE.
No,
that was his name, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, so like that's the main thing with that. I was like, oh, that's cool. They got the original Hardy Brothers music. Cool. Or Hardy Boys. Excuse me, not Hardy Brothers. That's different. Oh, no, it is the Hardy Boys, right?
Yeah, it's the boys with a Z.
Well, no, I meant the old book series, you know, the detectives.
Oh, yes. Nancy Drew. Yes.
So, but yeah, so I mean, it was nice. It was nice to see them happy. Jeff looked legit happy. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, outside of their big comeback moment in the WWE there was not much to hang your hat on for either of them.
No. I mean, the whole delete stuff went away quick.
Yep.
Yeah, as soon as they lost the tag titles, that was it. Jeff was in those dumb feuds with Sheamus about him being an alcoholic, and it has a slip-up during the story, and it's like, oh, man, this just isn't good. And then I think he saw the writing on the walls, like, I just want out of this. Like, this is crap. And, you know,
yeah.
It's always weird to me that you use someone's real addiction or real problem for those means, you know?
Yeah, it seemed pretty bizarre to be doing that, honestly.
Yeah, but it's also WWE where they don't care.
Well, it's wrestling and they don't care, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, those things didn't do anything for Jeff. Did they have enjoyable matches? You know, you can go through that. They probably had decent matches. But yeah, he didn't go anywhere. Like, I was going to compare him to Ray's comeback, but at least Ray won the tag team championships with his son. Like, at least he's gotten something accomplished since he came back. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they just never treated... other than that first, that big comeback moment, they just never really treated Jeff and Matt like real returning superstars.
Well, Jeff got treated far better than Matt did.
Yeah.
Which was always the case.
Yeah, so, that did not change at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's no surprise there. But yeah, no, you're right. It's so it was just better that they were both gone, and it would. But again, it was just nice to see Jeff legit like looked like he's interested. Like even though like fans were cheering for him, and he may have loved the fans, whatever else, he was just doing that like slow clap, like, "Yep, yeah, I'm supposed to do this. Thanks, guys. I just want to get out of here."
Yeah, he did look like he was just punching a clock.
Yeah, and with the way he was being used, do you blame him? Like,
no.
I'm in my 40s, man, and he doesn't move very well either anymore. Did you notice that?
Oh, the biggest to me, the biggest move that's noticeable is the Swanton.
Oh, I just meant in general, he wasn't moving well.
Oh.
Which, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not so any of those guys that have pretty much wrecked their bodies. It's unsurprising that they don't move well at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he was in that ring, and I'm like, oh boy. But yeah, so there's that. Was it what else was newsworthy? There wasn't really much until we got to the end, and Scorpio Sky, who finally won the TNT title, which has been a story that's been going on for months as well.
Oh, and well, that's another a tree fell in the woods moment for me. I
saw some people liking how this match went down. Like, oh, I was really concerned if Sammy was really hurt. And I'm like, no, because she wouldn't have been down there. Like, right, that was the dead giveaway. His entire Conte ran down, or Conte ran down.
Yeah.
I also, this is one of my problems with the AEW still. Sammy gets a table out, and Ethan Page is correctly yelling at the referee. He's not allowed to do this.
Oh.
He's like, hey, tables aren't allowed. He's yelling at the referee, and the referee's just ignoring him. He goes, oh, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. And I'm like, why am I here agreeing with the heel? You know?
The referee situation in AEW is brutal. Just
the rules, any of that stuff is just terrible with them.
Yeah, like I felt bad for Rick Knox during the paper during Revolution during that six man tag match. He was trying to enforce rules, I guess you could say. But it was hilarious. It's like, one, should two be now, or do I need to wait a little bit longer? Two! It's just oh my God. Like, not to the WWE. Well, actually, the WWE doesn't make their referees look incompetent that often. Mm-hmm. Not that it's super important for your referees to look competent, but yeah, they just make them look downright dumb in that they don't have any power whatsoever.
Yeah, rules are arbitrary. Like, Sammy should have been counted out.
Oh.
Just flat out. He should have been counted out. Like, okay, he's hurt. Well, 10 count, motherfucker. Too bad. Or 20, whatever it was. He can't continue. Match is over. Scorpio Sky's the new champion. Like, this stuff is just dumb. And it's their own fault. They're the ones that wanted to establish all this stuff, and then they just go, nah, it don't matter. I mean, we can complain about the Lucha Brothers doing that stuff all the time, because they do.
Oh.
But it's just like, okay, whatever. And that's why FTR, like, vocally have said that, like, you can't do anything. And if there's no – and Jim Ross always used to say, if there's no rules, nothing matters. And he's right.
Oh. Yeah, it's one of those – it was a dumb thing that I learned in architecture school, whereas, like, when you're trying to come up with a building, it actually helps to have restrictions. And it can help your creativity because you've got to figure out ways around the rules rather than just like when you have a completely blank slate, like you really need to come up with everything on your own. But if there's some restrictions, it focuses, it focuses everything.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Because they don't have any rules, there's no focus, and it's just shit like that can happen. And I mean, even they had Paige Van Dam, Paige Van Dam, oh God, Paige Van
Wow, okay.
Zant coming
Time flies.
down and attacking Ty Conti. It's just like they are having a full out brawl at ringside in AEW, and the referee's like, hey, you guys can stick around here. It's okay. At least the WWE referee would throw those people out of ringside.
I thought she came over the guardrail. Like she was in the crowd. I mean, it doesn't matter
Oh.
because you're right. I mean, she would have been tossed.
Well, and everyone else, honestly, at that point, if one person gets involved, generally the whole crew gets sent away.
Yeah.
But that did not happen.
Yeah. So like, I didn't mind the outcome. It seemed pretty obvious. I think what they're trying to do is make it seem like Wardlow's definitely beating Scorpio Sky next week. But we all know MJF's going to cost him the title, cost him the match, which is fair, and it's fine.
Oh.
Because you don't want to have Scorpio Sky. I mean, he honestly, legit, if you watch Dark and all the other shows, he hasn't lost in almost a year. And that's what Dan Lambert kept saying. And then they
No.
finally went through with it. And I was like, oh, wow, all right. And that crowd didn't seem to mind. So I don't know if it was because of a title change or if Scorpio Sky actually has like a little cult following. But
Yeah, he's a guy that I really liked him coming in, but I just don't like this Dan Lambert stuff at all.
yeah, and we're gonna have more of it now with Paige Van Zandt. She's legit signed. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Great.
So but my thing is if I'm Ethan Page, I was supposed to be like I left Impact to get to a bigger place. He's probably making more money, so don't get me wrong. But he wanted more opportunity, and he's been saddled with a tag team where now his partner is the champion. Like, wait, I thought these opportunities, like for growth in my career and all that, were supposed to be mine. Maybe I'm just being, maybe I'm not looking at it right, but.
That has been a popular topic here as of late because I mean, I guess I've specifically picked on the WWE people who haven't gotten anywhere. Shawn Spears, Malakai Black still isn't really anywhere. Who are the other?
I think he's settled into where he's going to be for a while, which I think is where he wants to be.
Yeah, and that's fine, I suppose. But it's kind of one of those things. It's just like, well, you wanted out of the WWE because you weren't kind of one of the feature guys. And then they come to another company and they're, well, not a feature guy.
Well, remember, he got cut. He got cut. Remember, they actually had a whole plan for him and
Oh,
Big E.
yes.
And then in the like before it even happened, he comes out, kicks
Yeah.
Big E, and then gets released the next day.
Yeah, he was a truly bizarre one,
Yes.
where yeah they had been doing the build up for him because he'd got the backstage vignettes and everything.
The whole thing's weird. That was his weird
Oh,
because
but
he signed his wife, but then they cut him.
it was and I guess I went off of Ethan Page not getting anything. Like, yeah, there's so many other people that. Obviously, like, I don't think Brian Cage left Impact to not be on TV ever.
And then they picked up his option, which is even more bizarre to me.
Oh.
And he was even telling people he was leaving, and then they picked his option up. So he's
Oh.
still in AEW.
Oh.
Like, why? Because I know with Claudio being out there now, there seems to be more opportunities like to pick him up, but it's like, why would you? And not even trying to be a dick about it, there's no room. There is no room. And I understand why Tony Khan said, I'm going to have to not pick people's contracts up because he can't. There is no room.
Oh, AEW is in an interesting spot. As much as I have liked Scorpio Sky in the past, his 365 days of not being defeated is a lie to me, essentially. Because
It's the same thing.
none of
Three
them
falls
have
on
been on
this.
Dynamite or even Ra has he even gotten a win on Rampage for Pete's sakes?
I think it's all dark.
Good God, man.
Serious. I honestly think it's all on dark.
And I that's my that was my only real beef with that title change. It's just like, shouldn't I at least see this guy win a match at least on Rampage before he wins your secondary championship?
I their booking's not their booking is not perfect. They try to make sense of everything. But you know, it's still I don't know. It was a weird show to me last night. The Scorpio Sky stuff was weird, but it made sense to me at the same time because
Oh.
you know, all those reasons.
Yeah,
So
that and what else? That championship just hasn't stuck on anyone for long because it has been defended regularly.
yeah, and I think that's kind of the point. Who had the most defenses? Was it Darby? Or
Probably
was it Cody?
Darby.
Was it Darby or Cody that had the most defenses of that thing?
Well, Cody's might be broken up over two reigns. I would have thought it to me off the hop, I would say Darby had more consecutive wins. But I'm too lazy to look that up right now.
Yeah. Well, actually, Cody had three reigns, remember?
Oh, yeah, that third one right before he lost it again to
Yeah.
what's
So,
his name? To Sammy again.
yeah. But,
Well, I think
yeah.
that seems like a good spot to end the show, huh?
Might as well, yeah.
That is at Granny Mays. At DeFrang11 has no beer suggestion today because he is going to consume beer after he hits stop on this podcast. I guess check out my Twitter feed. Our show feed is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And subscribe to us now rather than follow us or whatever they're calling it now. I heard that it changed. But you can also download us at Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.